Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we enter this third week of Lent for our scripture readings, which remind us that we are to be most concerned and focused on our own personal conversion and not to be looking around and judging others, especially when there are tragedies, and wondering what they did to deserve this. But there by the grace of God go we. So we pray you to send your Holy Spirit to help us in our resolutions to grow in maturity as disciples of your Son. And we pray in a special way for the ability to encourage one another, especially any brothers and sisters who are really struggling with life right now. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So sometimes, or most of the times, a theme emerges from all the scripture readings. Oh, now I see why they put that one with that one. But this week it didn't work like that for me. So I kind of came up with a theme which kind of just takes a little from each particular reading. And it's be a cultivator of peace. Because I think that overall, you know, we can kind of see that the readings are directing our attention, as I said in the opening prayer there, to be most concerned about our own conversion. And it's really easy in this world to get distracted and to just kind of detach from that and judge other people and figure out what they are doing wrong or what they're doing right, and to kind of avoid our own issues to go deeper and become more mature in our faith. So these are three things I hope that can help us be cultivators of peace in the world around us. The first thing, and this is based on the first reading with Moses, was we help other people experience liberation. This is the beginning of Moses' journey with the Lord when he saw the burning bush, and then God calls him to go to the people and start this whole process of being set free from the slavery and oppression of Pharaoh. And as Moses began walking with the Lord, he learned about his mercy, and we see even in the journey when they're in the desert that he intercedes on behalf of the people when they really went off the deep end and kind of left their faith and were replacing them with idols and so forth, that Moses really had a heart for the people. And that's why the church fathers often speak of Jesus as the new Moses, that he goes on the mountain and converses with the Father on our behalf and intercedes on our behalf. And it says in the book of Hebrews, you know, that we have a great high priest who lives to intercede for his people. Well, through our baptism as priest, prophet, and king, we too are called to help people experience liberation. So when we meet people who seem to be really down and kind of a cloud's following them wherever they go, and they just don't seem to be very happy and they just seem to have a lot of oppression in their life, we can do things to help them experience God's liberation, like Moses. And we can intercede on their behalf. And as we pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead us into practical things that we can do to help them get free and experience that life in abundance that the Lord wants each one of us to have. I've come that they might have life and have it in abundance, John 10:10. And there's some practical things that God has gifted the church with in the recent decades, and one of those is the Unbound ministry. And several years ago, we had a conference at St. Stephen the Martyr for 3 days to learn those techniques and to learn how to take people through Unbound. And I've talked about it before, but it's probably been a couple years, and we've had the pandemic, so I just want to bring that up again as a wonderful resource. And this isn't just for priests, it's for lay people. The majority of people at that conference were lay people. But there are 5 keys you take people through when they recognize they have maybe unforgiveness in their life or traumatic experiences they can't seem to get over, where the Lord can come in and help them and heal them. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of that. And I know when I first started doing it, it's a little awkward because you're trying to memorize everything and the methods and everything. But as you start to do it more, it just becomes natural. So when you meet somebody and I sense like they're under a spirit of fear, you want to pray, you want to renounce the spirit of fear, we can do that right now. I do it in confession a lot, actually. I was doing it a lot with the teenagers the Friday before that, during the search retreat when we were doing confession and just having a time of prayer ministry. But everybody's capable of doing that. You know, reminding people that God doesn't want you to be oppressed. He wants you to be experiencing life in abundance and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So if there are things in your life that are dragging you down, you can get healed from those things. Do you believe that? I've seen people get healed from that, and I've experienced it myself, and it's just a beautiful thing to be a part of that. But all of us can be like a Moses and help people that we know who are having a difficult time with life experience liberation. And even just small gestures like, you know, I'm going to say a prayer for you today, or I'm going to go to Mass and offer that for you and your family because I see that life is really hard right now. Those little things mean a lot to people, right? So we can do little things like that. The second thing is to be grateful and proactive. Don't grumble. That's kind of a hard thing in our world today. We kind of are a nation of grumblers and complainers. And I remember World Youth Day in 2000. It was incredibly hot. It was like 100 degrees every day, almost 100% humidity. Here I'm wearing black. Now I know why the Pope wears white. He's a smart guy. It's miserable. But the last day, they set up a pilgrimage, so we had to go pick up our lunch for the next 2 days, which was weighed about maybe 8 pounds. We had 160 teenagers with us, and we had to do a six-mile trek to the Tor Vergata, this giant field where we were going to have the closing mass with 2 million people, and then Pope John Paul II. So they started grumbling rather quickly, actually. And so I said to them, you know what happened to the Israelites when they were in the desert and they grumbled? I don't know what. I said, snakes came out and bit them. I don't think that was helpful. But I was just a baby priest back then, so I don't say stupid things like that in general. Probably more than I'd like to admit. But it's so nice to be around people when you're in a difficult situation who don't just stand around and complain, but are trying to be proactive and do something helpful, right? So we just finished our Bible study. Well, we're almost done. We just have a little summary on Wednesday, and then we're going to figure out what we want to do next, what we want to study next fall. But Jeff Cavins, this brilliant teacher who's been helping us journey through the Acts of the Apostles, got to the last part of the Acts where Paul is shipwrecked on Malta. So his ship breaks up and everybody swims ashore, and it's not a very nice experience. They're all wet and cold. Well, Paul doesn't complain, but he starts gathering firewood to start a fire to help people get warmed up. And of course, no kind deed goes unpunished, right? So a snake comes out and bites him on the hand, a venomous snake. And so the people there say, you know, he must have been a murderer because they were on a ship with prisoners because something bad happened to him. And it's like, no. And that's the thinking here with the gospel as well. And that was kind of the Old Testament thinking. Job's friends, what did you do wrong to get so much suffering in your life and to have so many bad things happen to you? You must not be a very just or godly person. And when we think like that, it just makes the poor person even more miserable. I'm already miserable, and now you're judging me and not doing anything helpful for me, that God wants to help me out of this pit that I seem to find myself in. Sometimes people get in a pit because of sin. Sin obviously leads us away from God and is destructive. But just because something bad happens to someone doesn't mean they did anything to deserve it. But how easily we can slip into that kind of mindset. Let's say a rebellious teenager, oh, they must not be good parents. That's not necessarily true, you know. So it's so easy for us to judge, but it's a beautiful thing when we're helpful. What can I do to help you? You know, you seem like you're struggling. So Paul did that. But we can do that as well. When we have a difficult situation, we can pray, and intercessory prayer will lead us to a place of the Holy Spirit showing us what we can do to be helpful to people. And we need more people like that in the world today, amen? We need more positive, proactive people. But it's easy to step back and grumble, and I can't claim that I don't ever do that. The last thing is to be fruitful and merciful. The fig tree was not bearing fruit, but the gardener pleaded on behalf, you know, let's leave it another year and see if we can do something with it, because God doesn't want to just cut us out. We can all be more fruitful in our Christian lives, and we can all be more merciful and not want to cut other things down and other people down when they don't do what we want them to do. We share in the mercy of God and the compassion of God. I remember the Eucharistic prayer number one used to say, do not consider what we truly deserve, but grant us your forgiveness through Christ our Lord. And every time I would pray that, I would just get goosebumps, because I don't want what I truly deserve. I want your mercy. And I want it for other people too, right? Not just for me. Well, I get mercy, but you're in trouble. That's not how it works. We plead that mercy for other people. So let's pray for that in the world today, we be more cultivators of God's peace by focusing on our own conversion. What can we do to become more mature, more spirit-filled, and more able to push back the darkness around us by ushering in the kingdom of light within our own heart first? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the support you give to us each and every day. We thank you for sending your Son to be our Lord and Savior and giving us the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life. Help us to look around us and not be overwhelmed by all the distress and turmoil we see, but first and foremost to welcome you into our heart and to have that gift of peace that the world cannot give, and then we will have a gift to give to others, and we can show them how to obtain it by trusting in you. So we just pray this week you will fill us with insight, with wisdom. If we encounter difficult situations, how we can be a sign of hope for others. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.